Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Make sure that you do look through the announcements in the back. One thing to highlight is that we do have a potluck lunch today after Sunday school. So around 11:15, 11:30, we'll start eating. Let's see, any other announcements? Anything else? Terry?
One of the ministries that you don't see go on here is our child care chapel. And each week they bring an offering to the chapel about the Bible story. And we have a little display over here that we kind of keep their little offerings out here so you can see what's going on in chapel at the child care center. So I just wanted to let you know that there's a little display over there for you to look at. Go see what the kids do and hear what we do during the week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Any other announcements? Not then, I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Holy is the Lord, the Almighty. He is worthy of glory and honor and power. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. By his blood he purchased for God Christ made of them a kingdom, and they shall reign on earth forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Direct our hearts, O Lord, by your merciful reign, because without your help it is impossible to please you. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove. You may be seated.
First reading this morning comes from Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the epeth small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 111 responsively. Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He gives the barren women a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, rather she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money."
The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I hope everybody's enjoying their last days of summer, even though it doesn't seem like it. But it is the last days of summer. I think fall starts on Tuesday, I think. Hope everybody's doing good. All right. So I've got a little reward for you today, but you got to find it first. Okay, and the question I have for you, first of all, is, and I'm going to have to watch both directions here, who is good at taking directions? Raise your hand. All right, there you go. All right, so you're going to come out here, all right, and you're going to stand right here, and I'm going to give you directions, and we're going to see if you can find our reward today, okay? All right, so the first thing I'm going to have you do is turn completely around. Go over there and face the back doors. Very good. I want you to turn to your right now. Your right, which would be the side. Take two steps. Stop. Turn to your left now and face the doors. Face the doors back there. And take three steps forward. Okay. Now, I want you to pick up that first book that's sitting right there in front of you. Do you see anything? Pick up the second one. Put that one down and put the second one on top of it. Do you see anything yet? Pick it up and let's see what you got. No? Let's pick up one more book then. Now do you see something? Is it laying there next to where those books were? Is there a bag there? Ah, there we go, we found it. All right, come on over here. All right, so, but the problem is you have to earn these twice, so you can have a seat. Okay, you have to earn these twice, okay. Who would like to be the follower this time? All right, hop up over there. Actually, you stay here, okay? All right, and I'm going to pick another leader today. Who wants to be the other leader? Okay, you be the other leader, okay? All right. And come on over here with me. Everybody else close their eyes. Okay, because I'm going to hide these again. And you and I are going to watch. All right, who wants to be the person to find it? All right, come on. All right, stay right there. Okay, so listen for your directions, and we're going to get you to where you're supposed to go, okay? You ready? We're going to start. One, two, three. Go. Stay sitting.
Stay up.
Okay. No. Stay sitting.
Stay up.
No. Stay sitting.
Stay up.
Okay. Well, go ahead and stand up. Okay. Come towards me. Come towards me. It's this way. Take three steps this way. Take three steps this way. No, you're going the wrong way. Take three steps this way. Come on. This way. Ah, okay, so let's stop right there. How are you feeling? Kind of mixed up? Yeah, all right, thank you. Come on back and let's sit down for a minute and talk. All right, let me tell you first of all where they were. I put them in there, okay? All right, but what happened there? Why did he get mixed up? Why was I doing that? Well, the reason I was doing that is because it's in our gospel lesson today. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Well, that's kind of like the world is going. We hear we need to come to church, we want to listen to God, but there's so many other things out there that want to call us and get us to go the other way, get us to do different things. Okay? And so that's kind of what was happening here. One was saying one way, one was saying the other. But the one thing that we want to do is always follow our master's choice, our master's voice. And that's God's and his love and Jesus and the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. Okay? Matter of fact, you'd be amazed how our service fits together. The hymn after the hymn after the sermon I want you to listen to, it says, "Guide me, ever great Redeemer." Think about that. Who's your guide? And then over here, our other one that we sang before we did the lessons, listen to this. "The light of truth to us display, and to make us know and choose your way." That's why we come here, to learn whose way we're supposed to follow, to hear the voice that we need to hear. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there's plenty of voices out there calling for us, trying to send us this way and that. But we know that your voice is the one that directs us and guides us the right way. Help us to open our hearts and minds to that word. Help us to come here to learn that word so that we know the correct way to go. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you. Have a good day and have a good fall.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to ask you, what is your favorite parable of Jesus? Chances are you would not have picked the one that I read this morning. It is confusing. It doesn't sound right. It's hard to understand. And here it sounds like Jesus is praying or praising a person who is dishonest. So what's going on here? What's also interesting about this is that it comes right after probably one of your most favorite parables, or the ones that you know the most, and that is of the prodigal son. The end of chapter 15 is the parable of the prodigal son. The beginning of chapter 16 is this parable that we read this morning. So what's going on here in this parable? It starts out with a rich man. He has a lot of wealth, but then he has people working for him, or he has servants for him, and one is a manager. But word gets back to this rich man that the manager is cheating him. He's skimming off the top. He's cooking the books. And so he confronts his manager and says, "There will be an accounting. Bring your books back to me so I can see what's going on." And the manager knows he's been caught. But the thing about this manager is he's one of those kind of people that can get by with just about anything. You know those kind of people. It's like the kid who's always causing a ruckus out on the playground. And when he gets caught or when he gets pulled, yanked aside, he gets by with it. He's so charming and cute and can just talk his way out of anything. Or it's that lady who drives 90 miles an hour down the highway and she gets pulled over for a ticket, and she's able to charm her way out of actually getting a ticket. Or it's the politician who is corrupt, but yet can still speak and is so charismatic that people continue to vote for him. This guy, this manager, is like one of those folks that can get by with just about anything. Because he comes up with a plan. What am I going to do? I'm going to get fired. There's no way to work this out. But he does come up with a plan, and it is a shrewd plan. And so what he does is he goes to all those who owe his master money. He goes to them and says, "How much do you owe?" And he says, "Strike it out. Put a lower number down there. Put 50. Put 80 rather than 100. Scratch it out, and I'll change my books then too, so that these two books match, and so that there's no evidence that I've been cheating my master." And you get the debtors then too. They're happy because they don't owe as much then. And so it goes like that through all the debtors. So what has the manager actually done? He has changed the books on those who owe money, and he changes the books on his master. What that does is it makes the debtors happy, so that when he is fired, he can go back and he can collect on those favors. Or if they don't want to be dishonest in that way, if they don't like this manager and won't receive him or won't help him, he can blackmail them. And so they can be charged. They can be imprisoned. They would have to pay back all that plus interest, maybe with also other restitution as well then too. So he's got them cornered. But he also corners then the owner, because if the owner goes back and says to his debtors, I want you to pay the full amount, it's going to make his debtors angry as well then too. And he loses business. And so this crafty manager, this shrewd manager, is able to take both ends and save himself. Now, at the end of the parable, we don't know exactly what happens to this man, whether he is imprisoned or whether he is kept employed, or whether he himself is sold off into slavery. We don't know what happens to him. But he is commended for his shrewdness. What's confusing about this is it sounds like Jesus, in telling this parable, is commending the dishonesty of this manager. But instead, he's actually commending the shrewdness, because Jesus says, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So what is Jesus saying here? All right, look at the manager again. He is sharp. He is dishonest, but he is sharp. And he is single-minded in what he's going to do. He's going to save himself. That is his mission in life, is to save himself so that once he is fired, he can still have a life and he can still live it with pleasure. So he's on a mission to save himself. He comes up with a plan that would do that, that would save him. And then he pays attention to the details of what it takes to follow through with that plan, to cook the books of not only the creditors or the debtors, but rather also, too, to cook the books of his own master. He follows those details, and then he follows through with the plan. He goes through with it. Single-mindedness. This is what he's going to do. He's going to follow through with it, and it is shrewd. And so Jesus is saying, in that same respect, that we, too, should be single-minded in what we do, and that is to love God. To love God, to serve God, to be faithful disciples of God, to follow what God has for us, to be single-minded in everything that we do, because that is where life is. For this dishonest manager, life was in trying to make more money, trying to find friends, trying to either blackmail or to accumulate favors from other people so that he could live. We as Christians are called to follow Christ. And anything and everything that we do, we should be single-minded in that. We should be as shrewd in our faith as this dishonest manager was in stealing from his rich employer. We should be shrewd. We should pay attention to details. We should look for opportunities. Anytime there's any kind of opportunity to do ministry, that's what we should be focused on, is doing that ministry. If somebody is in need, to help somebody in need. If you're called into positions of leadership, to do that job of leadership, even though it may be risky, it may be scary to do so, even though you may not feel qualified. But to see those opportunities, to look for those opportunities, to come up with ideas. How should we participate in the kingdom of God? How best can I use my gifts? This manager, he had the skills. He had people skills. He had skills of thinking. He had accounting skills. And he used them for his own purposes. God gives each and every one of us skills and gifts to use. But we are to use them for the purposes of God. Terry had an interesting children's sermon up here, and it comes then too from this gospel reading. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve yourself and serve God at the same time. And so God calls us. He speaks to us. We hear a lot of voices throughout the world, But God continues to speak to us. And again, if we are shrewd, if we actually understand what is best for us, that is in following the voice of God and knowing what God is telling us to do, to listen to God, to tune out everything else, listen to God. What is God calling us to do? How can we use what God is calling us to do and actually do it? We have the skills to do it because God gives us those skills. And so we need to be shrewd in our faith in that sense of doing it. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I don't know exactly what happened to this manager. There's probably a lot of options to hear. Whether the rich owner recognized these gifts, he did recognize the gifts, but what he, in that manager, so what did he do with it? Did he sit on top of him and make sure that he became honest because he is evidently a good manager or shrewd enough manager to be able to accumulate money? Or did the wealthy man fire the manager? Or did he have him imprisoned, thrown away? Because in that day and time then too, you could imprison somebody for debt until they paid that debt off. And we think about that a little bit. I mentioned earlier that this parable follows the parable of the prodigal son. And as you know, that prodigal son story is all about forgiveness. The son who goes away, spends all his inheritance, comes back to his father asking for forgiveness. His father grants it with joy. For us, God calls us to be shrewd, to be devoted, to be single-minded in our faith. But we don't always do that. Every one of us falls short. And so what do? We are caught. Because the rich man had said, bring the books. There will be an accounting of everything that you have done. For us as well then too, there will be an accounting. But what does God do with that? He makes it right once again. Because he sent his son into the world to take our punishment for those sins, for the shortcomings, for that greediness, for that following another master even. He sends his son into the world to take our guilt upon himself, and he dies on the cross and he rises again. It's that whole story of forgiveness that comes in. And so even though we fall short, even though we are not single-minded all the time in what we're doing as far as following Christ, God still gives us that option of forgiveness. He grants us that grace so that we may be saved. And if we realize that, if we take it to heart, that whole idea of being shrewd comes much easier. That idea of being faithful and single-mindedness in following God becomes a part of who we are. It becomes ourselves. It becomes our identity. That we are Christians. We are followers and disciples of Christ. And so Christ calls us. He calls us to come and follow him and to be shrewd in our ministry. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Guide Me Ever, Great Redeemer. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father for the church, the world, and one another. Dear Father, thank you for the prophets and evangelists who speak your holy word, even when it makes us squirm. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for lifting us up when we fall away from your commands. Thank you for restoring us when we have repented. Lord, in your mercy. Give faithfulness and wisdom to theologians, evangelists, missionaries, and seminarians. Raise up new pastors, deacons, and discipleship guides, for the need is great. And give courage and grace to your suffering and persecuted church throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Grant integrity and common sense to our earthly leaders. Make them honest stewards of the power and authority granted to them, for they must give an account of their stewardship to you. Be the shield and defender of first responders and those in the military. Use their labors to accomplish your will in places of chaos and violence. Help us all to have a heart for the poor and the will to assist them effectively and graciously. Lord, in your mercy. Bless volunteers and workers, not only in this church, but throughout the world, who seek to serve you and neighbor. Multiply their gifts and talents so that through their labors, many people receive mercy, comfort, and a clear sign of your providential care. Lord, in your mercy. You raise the poor from the dust and care for all who cry out to you. Bring them out of darkness into your glorious light and restore them to fellowship with all who love them. And with confidence and hope, we remember before you all those who are afflicted in body, mind, or spirit, including Lynn Magura, Nick Picard, Elaine Molina, Carlton Bolting, Terry Hefling, Rosa Harton, and Joe Barnes. And Lord, we also ask that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, receive into your kingdom all the faithful departed, especially those dearest to us. Keep us steadfast in faith, diligent in service, truthful in word, and honest in deed. Bind us together in cords of love and compassion for one another. Bring us with all whom you have redeemed into the fullness of your presence. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Thank you.
Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please rise. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Stand Up for Jesus.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.